Last week, I told you, and we started with the premise that hot things need to be handled carefully. And I told you that the fact of the matter is that as it pertains to our relationships, just like you have to use one of these before you go and grab a, you know, something that you just took out the oven because it's so hot, we have to be careful with how it is that we are handling our relationships. And last week, we especially leaned in to the idea of singleness and those who are unmarried, that we have to be, as unmarried individuals, you have to be careful about how you steward that season and maximize that season. But also, as people who are married, we need to be careful how we encourage or deal with or talk to people who are unmarried, because we can be discouraging as opposed to the way that God would have for us to deal with them. And on this Friends and Family Sunday, we would be remiss if we did not talk especially about our familial relationships. You know, we just want to start here with this idea. There are so many quotes that we often misquote. And, you know, one of them is, we always talk about, you know, a jack of all trades, but a master of none, you know. And we usually rebuke people because of the fact that, you know, they do too much. And, you know, and they're unable to master one thing. And so we talk about it in a negative sense. How many of you have heard that or used it before? Let me see the hands. A jack of all trades, but a master of none. Well, the fact of the matter is that the full quote actually reads, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes is better than a master of one. So think about that the next time you use that quote to shame somebody for doing too much. You know, and one of the ones that we also use, you know, that we think that we're using it in the appropriate way that is out of the context is blood is thicker than water. How many of you have heard that one? And so, you know, whenever we want to support the idea of, yo, you're my family, and because we're family, you know, by blood, blood is thicker than water. And so we got to stand up and be the backative for our blood relatives because, you know, all of this stuff. And that's what we will say. But, you know, the actual saying is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So that's the actual thing. See what happens when you take stuff out of context? The blood of the covenant. In other words, you know, when people would cut covenant in the past, they would slit hands for blood and they would shake hands. That's where the whole handshaking came from. They cut their hands and then they shake their hands and they make a covenant to one another, right? A blood covenant. In other words, it's a level of commitment. And they say that covenant is often thicker than the water that you pass through as it pertains to birth. And so it's really, really interesting because this saying means that chosen bonds, are you following us, are often more significant than the bonds with family or water of the womb. And so today, you know, when we're talking about connections, familial connections and friend connections and all of this, it's important for us to understand. Anybody know that sometimes your family and, you know, and the way that things look could deal with Jerry Springer? Anybody want to be real today? You know, sometimes family is too hot to handle. If your family's anything like my family, you know, every now and again, there's some stuff that is very difficult. And so we have to be intentional about this. Scripture declares in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and this is kind of where we want to put our premise for today. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend, or in the context, a type of friend, who sticks closer than a brother. And there are many people who think, oh, this is automatically Jesus, right? This is actually in the book of Proverbs. And it's a proverb that talks about the fact that if you have a lot of friends, you're going to come to ruin. You know, now we just want to be friends with everybody and bring everybody in our circle. But he says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In other words, he is talking about quality relationships and how sometimes the relationships by choice that we have are stronger and can be better and stronger than the water of the womb.
Come on. I want to put a pin right there.
Go ahead and put the pin.
You know, people are on social media, especially on Facebook, when they have friend requests, you don't have to add everybody. Let me just set somebody free. Listen, I have people on my 3-year waiting list to add me as a friend. Because not everyone I want in my business, on my list. And so I think it's very important that we assess our friendship, assess who we add in our circles. And I've said this many, many times. It's better to have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. Too many people want all these friends. Man, it's expensive these days to be going out. I can't go to everything. All these baby showers.
It's so funny. You know, when you tell people you're going to think about it, it means you're not going. Anybody other than me. It'd be like, you want to come out? It'd be like, I'll think about it. I'm asleep.
Kind of like you said, like, oh, let me talk to my wife.
Just joking. Just shading.
Right. No, but I think it's very important in life, though, to make sure that we don't get caught up of, oh, to be popular.
Yeah.
And having all this friend list and in my Rolodex, I can just call them this person. This is something, a pet peeve of mine, people that name drop. Listen, most time I'll be like, I don't know who that is. Because I don't know a lot of people. But it's so important not to know people by name, but to have authentic relationships with people.
Very good. You know, I think that when we're talking about, and so all of these things are powerful, when we're talking about navigating friend relationships and family relationships, you know, kind of just talking through even how do you manage the difficulty around familial relationships. So even, you know, we're going to bring the plane down in a second, but I think it's important because sometimes we use the blood is thicker than water statement to emphasize or the importance or even the protection of blood familial bonds over friendship or other relationships. But sometimes these are the hardest to maintain and to handle. And some of the things that cause familial difficulties, number one, managing expectations. You know, any witnesses? It's difficult, you know, when you're talking about familial bonds because of expectations, managing expectations.
Well, yeah, that happens a lot when you get married, when someone hasn't lived and cleaved, or the family hasn't let them go.
Wow.
They're expecting them still to be the same availability, accessibility. The reality is sometimes when you get married, you might not be the go-to person all the time, and that they have to find some other people, or it might just be delayed in time. Because I think sometimes we're like, we used to be a phone call away or upstairs, or if you lived with your parents before you got married, they had the expectation that you'll still be there. You'll still be there, but maybe your access will not be the same, and maybe your availability will not be the same.
Yeah, also managing offenses, you know, like it's very difficult to continue to be in relationship with family when they hurt you. Anybody ever been hurt by family?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, man, you're like, fam, like, are you serious? I have to go to Christmas again. Some people are excited about Christmas holidays and the holidays. Other people, they're just like, man, I gotta see your face, family. You know, because offenses do happen and they do come. And so sometimes it's expectations, sometimes it's managing offenses, you know, especially they're most difficult when they come from the parental front, you know. And then, you know, honestly, one of the biggest difficulties is sometimes managing familial audiences and opinions. You know, it's difficult for you. You ever been like going through stuff and you're trying to make a decision for yourself and suddenly out of nowhere you're thinking in your head, what's my mom going to say if I do this? What? You're grown. You're a grown tail person. And you're still out here thinking, managing the opinions and the thoughts of your family. Well, if I do this, then my family is going to. And sometimes these chains are on us and they make it difficult for us to be able to navigate our family. But the thing is that God still does call us, although it's difficult. He still does call us to be able to honor our parents and even with the jacked up family situations that may be in our lives, the hot situations, he positions us and calls us to be able to honor them. Yo, have you read the Bible? One of the things I love about the Bible, and one of the reasons I really love the Bible, is because when you read those stories, those families are jacked up, fam. Like, they do not pull punches. It's not like, oh, there was this person and they were flying in the sky and everything was just wonderful and there was no problems and they all lived happily ever after. Nah, Mom Dukes is out here like, yo, put on some, get some, kill an animal and put it on your skin so you can feel like your brother and you can teeth his birthright. Like, parents are encouraging kids to teeth and to beat all this. I mean, it is nuts. Like, if you really look at these stories in scripture, you realize that. You know, it's not peachy keen and it's not easy by any means, but God still gets the glory in family stories in the Bible. And in fact, Jesus ends up coming through some dysfunctional families, but he amounts to being able to save the world from their sins. So our responsibility should be to ask God for the grace and the wisdom to navigate and to learn how to honor our family, even when you don't align with them. That's Are y'all
hard.
Here?
That is hard.
Listen, break it down.
That's really hard when you want to, when your flesh rises up. When you want to give your family or your friends that offended you, you want to just give them what they back to what they did to you.
Wow.
But it's an opportunity to rise up with maturity, to rise up the spirit in you to come back. Because, you know, I'm going to pray for them, even though, you know, there's an old song that says, man, I'll pray with them on my knees. Call them up.
If you can talk about me as much as you please, but I'll talk about you down on my knees.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important that we don't focus on the gossiping of people, but we speak the gospel to people.
Wow.
And it's so important that we do that. We lean into that.
I think that, so you're wondering, how do we honor our families then? How do we still be honoring even with difficulty? Things like praying for them, like you mentioned. You know, you are, especially as Christians, you are displaying the love of Christ when you are kind to people that are mean to you, even if they're your family. And so it doesn't mean you need to like what they're doing, but one of the ways that you honor is by being kind, by praying for them. And I want to let you know this, even as children and who are called to honor their parents, right? There is a blessing of the Lord that is attached to your honor, that even if the recipient does not receive it favorably, your obedience will command the blessing of the Lord on your life.
Amen.
Oh, I want you to hear me. Amen. Because there's some of you that think that the blessing of the Lord is attached to someone's response for your kindness. I don't care if you mean mug me, I'm still going to be obedient.
Come on.
Because God is going to bless me. Look, this is powerful. There are a lot of things in the law from the Old Testament that were not transgenerational or did not continue into the new covenant. Right? But one of the things that is reiterated upon is the command about parental honor. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 through 3 talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then watch, the Apostle Paul quotes from the law. He says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, the promise in the law was that if you honor your parents, that your days will be long on the land. And so there is a blessing, even where there is disagreement, even where there may be hurt. Doesn't mean you need to turn and be bati and bench again. But you can still be kind. In other words, for those who was wondering what that meant, it doesn't mean you need to be very, very close with them again. Close and intimate. It just means that you can be kind to them and loving as Christ has loved you. And as a result, there is a blessing there, even for parents. Can I say parents?
Yes.
Because watch, even in Ephesians 6:4, the Bible talks about parents. Yo, when your children are acting bad breed and they don't want to behave and they've been doing things that may be challenging to you, even if you're older and you have been being resentful and have been acting in mean ways to them and all of this, the same principle applies. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. You didn't know that was in there, did you? But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's imperative that we as parents don't provoke our children to anger just because we think that they are in a position where they are acting unfavorably. There is a blessing that is connected to both honor and even to the lack of provocation from us as parents. So it is possible. But then somebody today, as we bring the plane down, is saying, well, what if you don't have any blood family? What if you're in a position where you don't have any blood family, might have lost everyone? You know, there are several people that we know of that are in these positions, or a loved one may have passed, or, you know, someone may have walked out on you, or you're navigating familial drama that makes you feel isolated.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's ever been there? Where you can have a big family, but you just feel you're just by yourself and you don't click or connect? And so a lack of connectivity and things of this nature, I want you to understand, even some of you, you may have lost family because you've decided to follow Jesus. And I want to encourage you today to know that this is where, when we get to the idea where the blood of the covenant is thicker than the waters of birth, that even for you that may not have that family, or even in addition to those of you who do have family, you can have family. Come on, somebody. You can have friends that are family. I love so much that we have people in our lives that our kids call auntie and uncle that we are not blood related to. I love in our church the idea of how many people are in this church family. I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, I'm getting ready to go camping with this person and that person from church. I love seeing people in birthday parties and all, hanging out, celebrating one another, supporting each other and things, going out and doing that. Because how many of you know that fact of the matter is that sometimes those bonds and the bonds that we often have in Christ can be deeper and can be more helpful than even the relationships that may be dysfunctional. And yes, there can be dysfunction in your family too. But I want to encourage you to know that you don't have to be by yourself. You can choose and encourage and cultivate relationships that are godly. I love it. The fact is that when it comes to cultivating family and not just natural born relationships, it's important for us to kind of think of some of these principles. And these are the things that we'll leave you with, because some people are like, well, it's difficult for me. How do I choose people to connect with? What are the criteria that I should use? First thing I want to say is that instead of creating cliques, because this is what often happens, especially in church environments, yeah, you got more gangs than the blood and Crips. And this is problematic. Because instead of creating cliques, watch, we should be intentional about building bridges for outsiders to cross into connection. Amen. Think it. Let me say it again. Instead of creating cliques, we should be intentional about building bridges for outsiders to cross into connection. And so always, your eyes should always be open as somebody who may be connected. Your eyes should always be open. How can I make a way for someone who may seem like they're on the outside to become a part of the family?
And a criteria to things to think about when you're looking, when you're choosing, there's a power in your choosing.
So good.
Looking at the character of the person. What type of character? Are they a person of integrity?
That's a good one.
Are they messy? Are they their toxic trait in the group thing? But check out their character when you're choosing a person to come into your family. Or where, do they have a similar calling? Are you guys going the same direction? Because sometimes that's the challenge, the resistance, when you don't have the same values. We might not like the same thing. We might not like the same colors. We might not see the same movies. But we have joint values. And I can say that with Pastor Andrew and I, we are opposites in everything, literally. But one thing is, our values are the same. We are not arguing about tithing. Nope. We are not arguing at how we're raising our children. Maybe the movies we're watching, maybe the food we eat.
Absolutely.
We don't like anything the same.
Pray for Pastor Chantel that she will learn to love seafood. Amen? Amen. Stretch your hands towards her right now in the most deep way possible. No, I'm just kidding.
You know.
But also I think compatibility is important as well. You don't have to be bridges with somebody if you guys are not compatible. There's some people that it just won't work and stop. Like, it's like grinding gears. And a lot of times you feel pressure. I want to tell you, just because you are friends with somebody and I'm friends with you doesn't mean that I need to be friends with them.
Come on.
It's okay for you to be compatible with them, but for me not to be. And I think we need to be intentional when it comes to our family, that we are looking at compatibility. Are we compatible? And then also covenant or connection. This is when the Bible talks about there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's talking about connections that are deep. You don't have to have depth in every single one of the friendships, but I think covenant matters in connection. What are you committing to? Yeah. What are you committing to? What are you covenanting to? Because a lot of times we are messed up and have difficulty because of expectations that you might have that the person you're connected to doesn't have. And so because of a disconnect with covenant, there is an issue there. And then, of course, finally, Christ. As Christians, we would encourage you to make sure that not only is purpose aligned, but you need to be founded on Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody. You need to make sure that those you are running with and rolling with, that they are serving Christ, that they are following Christ as a Christian. This will help you to continue to have to move forward and do so in an expedient way, in a powerful way. I love what Jesus says, and I'm going to end on Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 through 50. You know, when they're charging him up and challenging him and trying to page him for who he's connected to and all of this stuff, Jesus ends up saying, because in regards to his family, he replies to the man who told him, he says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And so I want to challenge you to understand that you might be in a position where you have dysfunction in your familial relationships, but the amazing thing is that in Christ, you can be family with those who are seeking to serve and do the will of Christ. And so I encourage you today to be one that, although it's hot, that you are intentional about honoring your familial relationships. And although it may be difficult, to make sure that your family is as big as it can be, but that you have standards, and criteria as to who you let in your circle and who you are connected with and who you're running with and who you are walking with. If this was a blessing to you in any way, go ahead and put those hands together and give the Lord the praise on today. Our relationships can be too hot to handle, but we are so grateful that by the grace of God, that he gives us the strength and the ability and the wisdom to be able to steward them in a solid way. And so I end today, because of the sake of time, we're not going to be able to celebrate communion on today as we would love to, and we do every single week. But while we're in this building, we are on a time restraint. And so we are going to end today with the most important thing, compelling someone in the house on today to trust Jesus and give him your life. We would be remiss with all of you in this house, all of you watching online and connecting, if we did not call you. The Bible sums it up in three ways. You're saying, how do I begin a relationship with Christ? It says to repent. Everyone say repent. In other words, I acknowledge I am a sinner and I'm turning from serving sin, Satan, and myself. I'm turning in faith and I put my trust in Jesus. Someone say believe. The Bible says that if we believe that he came and that he died and that he rose from death, and if we put our trust in him, that we would be saved. And so you put your trust in him as Lord and Savior. And then it says to be baptized. Someone say, be baptized. When you are baptized, we dip you in the water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commanded, identifying you with his death. We bring you up out of the water, identifying you with his resurrection from death. You are unified with his death and its benefits, and you are unified with his resurrection and its benefits when you come up. He died for you and he rose from death with all power. And if you put your trust in him, you repent, believe, and are baptized, that you can have a relationship with him, and that you can not only have your life in this earth secured and blessed and in a place of godly strength, but you can have your eternity secured in him. Anybody still get excited about that good news other than me in this place today? That's some good news.